Welcome back to HealthLink On Air, produced each week by SUNY Upstate Medical University, making the academic difference in healthcare in the Central New York community. And this is your host, Tricia Torrey, every patient's advocate. Lyme disease. It's something we read about, we hear about it in the media. Most of us know it's related to ticks, but beyond that, there's a wealth of information most of us don't have. So we've asked infectious diseases expert Dr. Shelley Gilroy, one of our regular and favorite guests, to come by this morning. Good morning, Dr. Gilroy.
Good morning, Trish.
We're glad you're here. Dr. Gilroy is a professor of medicine at SUNY Upstate. She's been here a number of occasions to talk about those diseases she deals with. This morning, we're going to get that real information we need about Lyme disease. So Lyme disease, it gets its name from a place. That's unusual, isn't it?
Yes, you're absolutely right. But it actually, the first cases were found in Lyme, Connecticut back in 1975. It was a group of children that were out playing in the woods, and they presented with symptoms of arthritis. Yes.
So it's like an achy feeling they were getting.
Right. Swollen joints, most commonly involving the knee.
And there were a group of them?
Yes, a group of children, and they went to their doctors. Initially, they thought they had juvenile arthritis, but later on found out that that was not the case, and then finally were able to discover that it was due to an organism transmitted by a tick.
Very interesting. I have to think that for all of those pediatricians that would have seen those kids, just to get together for coffee and say, wait a minute, I've got all these kids with juvenile arthritis, that must have been quite the discovery.
Oh, absolutely.
Wow. So this was in the 70s, and that would explain why I don't ever remember hearing anything about ticks until I was in my adulthood.
Right, exactly.
I mean, I don't even know that I knew what they were.
Right, right.
So let's talk about what ticks look like, because I have a feeling there are some people who really don't know what they look like.
They don't. It's true. Most of the ticks that transmit the Lyme disease are very tiny, so you may not even see them. They could be as small as a poppy seed.
Really?
There are different stages of ticks, too. The nymph stage, which is the early phase of the tick, is the one that's responsible for transmission of Lyme disease. And they're the ones that are out there in the early part of the season. The CDC has a great website, however, where you can actually look and see the different types of ticks. There's certain ticks that are found on humans, and there are all certain ticks that are found on animals.
And do all ticks carry Lyme disease?
Not all of the ticks do. Only about 1% of ticks do carry Lyme disease. But it depends exactly on where you're living, though, too. If it's an area where there is a large number of ticks, of course, the percentage is going to be much higher.
Right. That makes a lot of sense. So we can go to the CDC website and actually see what these ticks are supposed to look like. Okay. Well, we'll make sure we put a link from our HealthLink On Air website so people can go and see what they do look like. All right. So all ticks don't carry the disease, but do the ticks have the disease themselves, or are they just carriers of it?
They're carriers of the bacteria. And what happens is when they attach to your skin, they start to feed off of you for the blood. Mm-hmm. And as they're doing that, they start transmitting the bacteria into your bloodstream. And it actually takes a long time for that to occur. It takes about 48 hours.
Oh, it does?
Yes.
Okay.
So one of the things that you can do to help protect yourself is if you do find a tick on you, if you can remove it right away, and if you can remove it within the first 48 hours, the likelihood of you becoming infected with Lyme disease is very low to even zero.
It is. Okay,
yes.
So people shouldn't panic if they see a tick,
absolutely,
or if they see a tick on themselves or one of their children or something like that.
Right.
Well, I do want to talk about prevention when we've talked about these other parts of it, because I think there are some things that people can do. But let's go back. So these ticks bite. They bite humans. They bite animals, too, don't they? All right. So the dog can get Lyme disease?
Yes, absolutely. The dogs can get Lyme disease. And when I speak to some of the veterinarians in the area, they have actually seen a number of cases of Lyme disease in the dogs in this area.
Right here in Central New York State. So this isn't something that's just in Connecticut, is it?
No.
It's all over the world at this point,
it's actually
I understand.
More concentrated in northeastern states, the Midwest, in particular Wisconsin, and out west, California area.
Really?
Yes. And it's more of temperate climate areas.
It seems so odd that it would be in those diverse areas. You know, what happened like between here and Wisconsin? Did all those ticks just walk over
there? I don't know. It may have something to do with the host population, perhaps, the mice.
Yeah, who knows? Yes. Very, very strange. Well, we don't have to analyze that this morning. Let's talk more about how we can help some of the folks that are listening. All right, let's talk about symptoms. Say somebody doesn't know they have a tick bite. They don't know that maybe this bacteria was transferred. What kind of symptoms would they start to feel? Arthritis, it seems.
That's one of the symptoms. But the most common one is the rash. And actually, that is the best way to make the diagnosis. They can have some headache and some nonspecific joint aches and body aches. But if they have the rash, and the rash, it's a classic rash. It's called erythema migrans.
Oh, my.
It's a red rash. It starts out as a circle, and then it expands. And it looks like a bullseye because there's a central area of clearing. If you have that, a lot of times it doesn't itch, it doesn't hurt, it might feel a little bit warm. Some people don't even know they have it because they could have it on an area of the body that they can't see.
Sure, on their back.
I've had a few patients just tell me, well, you know, I was getting dressed the other day and my partner saw that there was this big rash on my back. And that's how, then they came to see me. And sure enough, this person did have the rash that was classic for Lyme disease.
Very interesting, but not everybody gets that rash.
No, that's the unfortunate thing. Yeah. It would be nice if people did because then you could make the diagnosis. Sure. You wouldn't need to worry about getting a blood test. Mm-hmm. But in the small, there's a certain percentage that don't develop the rash, and in those it can spread to involve the joints, the heart, and the nervous system.
Wow. And that's if they don't get treatment.
Right.
Okay.
Exactly.
All right. So, and that was my next question. So how quickly after the bite does the rash start to appear?
It can occur anywhere within 2 to 6 weeks after the bite.
All right.
But sometimes, as I said, it doesn't. Mm-hmm. And people can go on to develop the arthritis type symptoms, which usually is a swelling of a large joint and pain, and most commonly involves the knee.
I see.
The other symptoms are it can involve the heart, and the heart symptoms are usually a slow heart rate in a young person. Sometimes it gets so slow that people might need to have a pacemaker inserted.
Oh, my.
And then the other symptoms are the ones that involve the central nervous system, which would be one of the most common symptoms is Bell's palsy, which is paralysis of the facial nerves, facial muscles. So what happens is one side of the face may become paralyzed. And if you do the blood test, if somebody presents and the blood test is positive, that's another way you can make the diagnosis.
Okay, and that takes me to that question. Is there, so there is a blood test. Does that blood test work for everyone who's developed tick disease or the
Yes, they say it's a very good test. If it's negative, it pretty much rules it out.
It does.
But if it's positive, it's good. But the other problem with it being positive, it's it can pick up a lot of false positive tests.
Aha.
So it's not recommended to screen everybody by doing a testing. Mm-hmm. What they do recommend is that if you really suspect that somebody has it, and what you need to do is when you evaluate the person, if they've been in an area where there is Lyme disease cases, if they have signs and symptoms consistent with it, then go ahead and do the blood testing. But we don't recommend experts in infectious diseases do not recommend screening everybody with the testing because there are a lot of false positives.
There are. So you could think you had it and you didn't really have
it.
Interesting. Yes. All right. All right. So let's talk about some of the basic treatments. Say it's early. Somebody's just developed that bullseye rash. They come in to see you. You give them the blood test. What do you do for them then?
Well, you don't even have to do the blood test in that setting
because
sometimes it'll be negative.
Okay.
So if you have that classic rash, you just should treat them.
Okay.
And we do recommend treatment with either a penicillin or a tetracycline.
Okay.
And the course of treatment is usually for 2 to 3 weeks.
Okay, so it's an antibiotic.
Right, antibiotic.
You're just trying to kill that bacteria.
Exactly.
All right.
And most people, once they've been treated, they do very well and they fully recover.
Okay, so it's not something that they have to worry about dealing with for the rest of their lives.
No,
okay.
No. I mean, there's a small percentage of people that can go on even after being treated to develop the arthritis and the other symptoms that I mentioned. But again, that's rare. And but if they get treated again, their prognosis is very good.
And what about somebody who long-term, they've never gotten treatment. They thought maybe they had the flu early on or they were developing arthritis or something like that. So now we're months down the road from when they've actually been bitten. Do you treat them the same way?
Yes. They can get either treatment with an oral antibiotic. Depending on what symptoms they have, sometimes they can get an antibiotic that's given through the vein.
Mm.
And those people do well. Mm-hmm. It may take them a longer time for their symptoms to resolve, but the majority of the people do get better after about a year.
So you really still can kill that bacteria and they can recover from it.
Right.
How contagious is it? You know, certainly it's contagious from the ticks to animals or to people. But if I have Lyme disease, can I transfer it to my husband, for instance?
No, it doesn't get transmitted that way. You have to have a bite of a tick that has the bacteria.
You do. Okay.
Yes.
So the bacteria won't transfer from human to human.
No, it doesn't.
All right. Or even from my dog, if my dog develops it.
No, you don't have to worry about
that. And I even read something somewhere where somebody said, oh, well, don't eat venison because that deer might have been bitten by a tick.
but
no, it's not transmitted
that
way.
That's not going to happen either. But now what about like a pregnant woman? Suppose she gets a tick bite and develops Lyme disease. Can she pass it on to her fetus, to her
baby?
Yes,
there is some data that shows that it can occur, but if the woman is diagnosed quickly and treated, the risks of the side effects to the fetus are very low.
They are. Okay. Right. So again, just get treated quickly if you think there's any chance that you've been bitten. All right. Are there any other insects that can transfer this particular bacteria?
No. No,
what's the bacteria
called? It's called Borrelia burgdorferi.
Okay,
it was
actually named
after the person who discovered it.
Well, thank heavens, because you know that's what I discovered. All these diseases have been named after the doctors that discovered them, except Lyme disease, which is named after a place. Is there a vaccine?
There used to be a vaccine, but it's now no longer available because it wasn't very effective. It involved several different times where you'd have to get the vaccination maybe 6 times a year, and then you had to get it every year.
Oh gosh.
And it actually all it did was it didn't give you really antibodies against the infection. It pretty much just killed the organism inside the tick. That's how it worked.
Uh-huh. Interesting. So if somebody's actually had the vaccine, it doesn't sound like it would be effective today.
No. And the other problem with it was that people that had the vaccine, it interfered with their the blood testing result. It could give you a false positive result.
Very interesting. Mm-hmm. We just need to make sure then that parents are checking their children and their dogs and so forth, making sure that they don't have ticks on them, pulling them off.
Yes. Yeah. If you can, if you're going to go out into a wooded area, one of the things you should do is make sure you wear insect repellent that contains light-colored clothing so that you can see if there's a tick crawling on you.
Okay.
And the other thing is to do a tick check. When you come in at night, check their hair, everywhere from the neck down. And if there's a tick, remove it. Because if you can remove it within the first 48 hours, the transmission is zero.
That's great. That's just good advice. It just seems like good practical advice to make sure you don't get Lyme disease. Well, Dr. Shelley Gilroy, thanks so much. You have enlightened us about Lyme disease. It sounds like we can keep people pretty well protected just by keeping ticks off of them.
Yes, that's the most important thing.
Very good. Thanks so much for coming by this morning. And listeners, we do need to take a commercial break, but we'll be back shortly. Please stay with us. This is University Hospitals HealthLink on air on 570 WSYR.